Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Today I want to bring the third and probably the last in this series of lessons about a matter that could affect every one of us. It has to do with a sin that is very prominent in our society, and it is a sin that which all of us can at one time or another, if we're not careful, can commit. Now, we all sin, but we don't always sin the same way. But we're talking about a sin that is characteristic of so many. And I mentioned to you how an older preacher advised me to preach so often on the matter of the misuse of the tongue, our speech, words that we use. And he said, because there be those who will talk themselves right into hell. Well, we've talked about the misuse of the tongue and using profanity and vulgarity and lewdness and moral filth. It's so characteristic of so many in so many places and so many people that we see today. And most people realize this is improper. You know, even a lot of people who speak that way, they could control it if they would. And they realize that it's not the thing to be done. They don't particularly care, but it ought not be done. But there are ways that people can misuse the tongue that we may not think is so obvious to us. Now, we are guilty at times of using the tongue to gossip. Now, people don't usually think it's too serious about gossip, but this is an abuse of speech. We're fortunate that usually gossip comes to us with a warning. And there are red flags that precede gossip that usually tell us that some gossip is on its way. Now let's notice some of the red flags. Somebody comes up to you and he says, "Have you heard about so-and-so?" Well, it might be they're going to tell you something that's all right, but it could well be they're going to be spreading something that ought not be repeated. That's a red flag. Some will say, "Now don't tell anybody else, and if you do, don't tell anybody that I told you." Well, that's pretty sure. Here comes something that really ought not be said. And people will say, "Well, they tell me this, and they tell me that." And you never know who they are. But it's just something that doesn't have documentation. It doesn't have the truth behind it. Somebody will say, "Well, I'm not real sure about this, but," and they'll go on and tell something that they're not real sure about anyway. On and on it goes. Well, such introductions are so often followed by nothing but gossip. And gossip destroys reputations. It undermines character with an unjust and untrue criticism. It creates false impressions. And it does nothing but eternal damage. And some possibly do this deliberately, and others do it without really giving proper thought to what they're doing. But one person can seriously hurt another person by the misuse of the tongue. You see, the tongue can be a deadly weapon when it's used without responsibility. And the tongue can be used to misrepresent other people and to impugn people's motives. Now, you better stop and think a little bit before you impugn somebody's motives, because a motive is a matter of the heart. And only God knows the matters of the heart unless somebody has revealed it to you. And we do err to speak of that of which we cannot have knowledge. Speaking disparagingly of other people, that can be a very vicious sin. Circulating harmful and destructive information. Friend, that's evil. The information may be absolutely true. It may be accurate. But we ought not be passing it along. It's not going to accomplish any good to say something about it. We ought not just perpetuate and expand the evil. Why, this is a warning of potential harm when people will start talking about things. They know probably very little about it, but they speak in a disparaging sort of fashion about it. Now, criticism, one against the other, sometimes is justified, isn't it? I've been criticized, you've been criticized, and criticism of other people is sometimes necessary. And we hear criticism of ourselves, and that's also justified at times and necessary. I don't suppose any of us like to be criticized, even though it does us a lot of good if we receive it in the right spirit. You know, the first thing you ought to do when you're criticized is to ask the question, well, it is true? Are they telling me something about myself that I haven't recognized before, and here I now have an opportunity to make an improvement because they've criticized me? Now, it may be that the criticism is unjust, and if it is, you can pass it off. But at least when you're criticized, listen to it. But unfair, untrue, unjust criticism that's designed to do damage, that's hard to take, isn't it? And we ought not be guilty of doing this toward other people. I suppose that's the trouble with many of us, that we often talk about somebody, but we don't talk to the one we're talking about. We'll talk about, well, let's say we'll talk about the preacher, but we won't talk to the preacher. We'll talk about the leaders of the church in a disparaging way, but we won't talk to them. We talk about our brethren, but we refuse to talk to them. We talk about our friends and neighbors in a way that's not proper, and we are not willing to talk to them. Now, how can that be righteous? Now, I know that sometimes some people won't be willing to talk to you at all, but we ought to be careful about talking about people with whom we're not willing to talk ourselves. And you know, by the tongue we can reopen old wounds uselessly. We can revive ill feelings and revive ugly situations. They ought to have been forgiven. They ought to have been forgotten a long time ago, but they're kept alive. How? By talking about them over and over again. We ought not do that. But we sometimes say things that are deadly without intending to do so. In other words, we experience what we call a slip of the tongue because the tongue was not under sufficient control. Often words are spoken hastily and harshly, even angrily, under the pressure of an emotional situation and in the midst of maybe heated discussions. And later, we regret what we've said. We wish we could take it back. Now, of course, we know that once words are spoken, they can't be taken back. Now, we might say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and that's what we ought to do. But we can't take those words back. You know, one time an elder told me that the reason we have a slip of the tongue is because it's in a slick place. Well, that's not really the reason. We just don't guard our speech properly as we ought. And when we're angry, we're very likely to sin by saying things that we really ought not say, and later on realize that we ought not have said them and wish we hadn't. But one of the more deadly uses of the tongue is to hurt the church. And this is by criticizing the church, bad-mouthing the work of the church. And some are masters of this, I know from personal experience. They just never seem to realize the harm that they're doing to the cause of Christ. Now, legitimate warnings of error and false ways, that's always proper when it's done with the right motive and within the spirit of love, and it can be done that way. But just fault-finding, parading every fault you think you will see in other people, in and out of the church, that can't do any good. You can be almost certain that those who busy themselves in talking against the church but will not address themselves to those about whom they are talking, they're not seeking solutions. They give every indication they love to stir up trouble and to create problems. We must realize, friend, that attack on members of the church are attacks on the body of Christ. At times the body may be diseased and we make an attack against the disease. And sometimes the church needs to be attacked because of sin in the church. But often these attacks are made against sound brethren, motivated by evil motives, damaging and productive of no good thing. And when the church does get off track, why, that's the time to do some talking to the right ones about it. But to attack the church that's doing the will of the Lord and doing it the Lord's way, simply because we may not like somebody or something, that's a serious transgression. Now, we must learn to guard our own speech and encourage others to guard theirs. We ought not lend a sympathetic ear to those who stir up strife and gossip. We ought to turn a deaf ear to those who talk about others or unwilling to talk to others about solutions to problems. In other words, don't be a good listener to bad talk. Don't listen to those who use damaging speech, vulgarity, and profanity. You don't have to listen to all of that. We would fall short if we did not mention, however, the good that can be accomplished by the tongue. Friend, we can communicate God's will to people. We can use the tongue to teach God's saving truth. We can offer comfort to the bereaved and encouragement to the downtrodden. We can express kindness and give wise and good advice and counsel to people. Why, the tongue is an instrument that's needed to rebuke things that ought to be rebuked. We can speak truth in love, Ephesians 4:15. Good works can be supported by the tongue. God's name can be glorified rather than vilified by the tongue. And songs of praise can be sung. The name of Christ can be confessed unto salvation. Sins can be confessed so that they can be forgiven. Apologies can be made. Edification can be delivered. Oh, there are so many good things that we can do with this marvelous ability that we have to speak and communicate our mind unto other people by the way that we talk. None of us should want to be guilty of doing harm by their speech. We don't want our religion to be in vain, do we? And if we're so inclined to be guilty of committing sin of the tongue, and if the shoe fits, let's wear it. Let us be honest enough with ourselves. Let's love the truth enough to listen to the truth and apply the truth, just as we have tried to present it here the last two or three days. No one is likely immune from the temptation that we're talking about to at some time or another misuse the tongue. The tongue is something that we must ever keep under surveillance and under control. Now, I want to tell you what you need to do with the tongue. You need to express your faith in Jesus as the Christ, because the way of salvation is a way of faith, and it's a way of repentance. And by thy mouth thou shalt be justified. With our tongue we can confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And we can obey the gospel by being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And we can come forth from that watery grave, the blood of Christ now having been applied to our sin-stained soul, and live in such fashion that others will hear our speech and recognize we have been with Jesus, and we try to avoid unclean speech. Let us all try to do that. It will be to our spiritual benefit. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.